Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Always good to be with you. We would encourage you to share these broadcasts, especially with people that need to hear them. We don't have a lot of time, and we've got to turn this stuff around, or the reprehensible nature of the program today. Oh, yeah, we're going to cover something today that is just so disgusting, it makes my stomach crawl. Well, we're going to be talking about child sex trafficking, abortion that's turned into murder. This is absolutely horrific what's happening inside our country. But we need to let people know, because if we keep this administration, if we keep them in place, if we let them steal the next election, it's all over. CBDC will soon be here. We need to educate millions. You know, our tagline is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We need to make it 1 million minds at a time. Now, we're going to be joined today by Susan Swift. She's an attorney. She's the vice president of, let's say, a baby rights group. And all that information will be provided for you when you listen to that particular interview. But first, you know, I need to let you know, ladies and gentlemen, with CBDC coming into play, you absolutely, positively need to protect your assets. And you need to get outside this system as much as you can. I remember when the bugs thing came out. You're going to have to eat bugs. You'll own nothing and love it. And we heard all these things, you know, yeah, over my dead body. Well, it may actually come to that. But right now, in the short term, we need to educate you about getting outside the system. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. I'm going to focus on the gold right now. You have a retirement. You do. They're moving to go after your retirement, and they'll do it in conjunction with CBDC. And that's because your retirement's connected to a bank. And you got a double danger because the bank, because of the Dodd-Frank law of 2010, can seize your bank assets. That's right. When you connect your retirement or put money in the bank, you are declared to be an unsecured creditor, and they can take from you whatever they want. Oh, that's correct. You look it up. Dodd, Dodd-Frank, 2010. I got people that still write to me and say, oh, Dave, that's just not true. Well, I'm sorry. It is true, and I invite you to check it out. Now, let's go a step further with this. Noble Gold is the group I work with, and they can extricate your retirement from your bank. You own it. You control it. Not the bank, not the government, not anybody else. You. And they back it with the one thing that has held its value for 6,000 years. You know what that is? That's gold. They can have similar strategies for getting your money out of your bank account and operating with just basically a manageable account where you can pay your bills. If you don't, the words depression, the numbers 1929 will come into play for you. It happened on my mom's side of the family when she was a small child. It'll happen to you unless you take prescriptive action right now. Now, the federal government requires me to give you a warning. All investments carry an inherent risk, and nothing can be guaranteed. I agree with that. Too bad they didn't make FTX do the same thing. And by the way, the FTX people are getting a walk. Well, another topic for another time. But listen to me, and listen to me very clearly. It is extremely important that you act now. So you can go to DaveHodgesGold.com, and I'll send you a free information packet. And the number for Noble Gold is to call. Also, you can call the number directly and just talk to an expert. They don't have call centers. You're not going to be getting, I help you very much, you're not ready for you to. No. You're not going to get that. You're going to get someone who speaks as good English as you do that really knows the topic. 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. Or go to Gold, excuse me, DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com. We're going to talk today about an ugly subject. On abortion tables across America, and in particular like states of California, they are murdering babies. Should have the heartbeat rule. should have the rule conception is when life begins. Heartbeat rule, some people will compromise. But now, baby's out of the womb, and they're doing horrific things to kill that baby. You're going to hear all about it with Susan Swift today. But first, I want to say a couple of words about Jim Caviezel's portrayal of a DHS CIA agent with regard to child sex trafficking. What I find amazing is not so much the story, because I've known this has existed forever and a day. You know, I know of three state legislators that have been murdered who've pursued this in the state of Georgia, Kansas, and Oklahoma. In one case, in Georgia, the woman was murdered by her husband, state senator was, and he committed suicide by shooting himself in the back. The pedophile mafia is far-reaching, people, and it's the heart and soul, along with drug trafficking, for the cartels. And because the cartels, in states like mine and 25 other states, identified the Brigger Report, many of our politicians are under the control of Sinaloa, fake real estate company, money laundering, bribing people. And in Arizona, there's really three classes of politicians, and this is true for most of the country, including Congress. There's either those that are complicit with the cartel money laundering schemes and in bed with China. It goes together. There are those who are covering up for them but may not be directly involved. And then there are those who cower in the corner in their little chicken bleepers, too afraid to stand up and do what they were voted to do, which is to protect the public interest. And this is what we have. And what I find interesting is the mainstream media is attacking Sound of Freedom, which rose to number 3 in the box office, out through Mission Impossible. And I really enjoyed the Mission Impossible movie. But the other movie, Sound of Freedom, is a must-watch because it shows you how bad things are. They show real footage of kids being snatched off the street and thrown into vans. Real footage. And the mainstream media says, oh, that's just fake. That's Hollywood crap. Those are reenactments. That's because Hollywood's up to their you-know-what in trafficking. Oh, they're involved in it. Make no mistake about it. They are involved in it. All of them, I don't know how far it stretches. I just know it exists. I've had producers, former producers, actors, actresses tell me that this is true. Why else would they attack the movie? I just don't get it. Because they have something to hide. And the fact that our Congress is not pulling Mayorkas before them, and you will account for those 85,000 missing migrant kids that we all know are being trafficked, all wrecked for life, and the fact that Congress isn't doing it, they're either involved, they're covering up for those who are involved, or they're too chicken bleepers to do anything about it. That's disgusting. And I have a courageous individual coming on, and she's been successful in many, many areas of life professionally, and she's chosen to center her efforts here on abortion turned into murder. This is a dramatic interview, and we don't pull any punches. Stay tuned for Susan Swift on The Common Sense Show. Welcome to The Common Sense Show. Again, thank you so much for staying with us. We have Susan Swift with us, and she has been on before, and she's the Vice President of Legal Affairs for Right to Life, and we have talked about abortion-related issues prior to, but this whole issue is blowing up now. It's becoming all-encompassing, and we're going to be dealing with terms like equity. We're going to be dealing with it. 5 years ago, we'd have said we're talking about the bizarre and it could never happen. Well, unfortunately, the state legislature is happening. You saw yesterday that the California legislature refused to declare pedophilia and sex trafficking and sex with a minor to be a felony. And we covered that on our other show. And this is just more of the same coming out of California, where they seem to be a trendsetter for every type of perversion known to mankind. So, Susan, thank you for coming back on the show. Very important topic, Senate Bill 729. What can you tell us?
Well, thanks so much for having me back on, Dave. It's always fun to be with you. I do, right before we get into the Fertility Equity Bill, which is SB 729, which did pass out of committee, it's going to go to the next step. Before I do want to give you a little bit of an update on SB 14, because you just mentioned it at your open, which is the sex trafficking, child sex trafficking bill. In a kind of an emergency session, I think it was Assemblyman Juan Alanis, he called it back, and basically they got it passed the Public Safety Committee. So they got it passed. It was kind of miraculous. It was a wild ride, and it happened, I think, yesterday, like afternoon. So that's a victory. What has happened? This bill, SB 14, is from Shannon Grove, Senator Shannon Grove, just a wonderful, stalwart person, very pro-life, just terrific. And fortunately, they were able to, in a kind of an emergency way, I guess, call for the bill one more time, and they got it passed the Public Safety Committee, which had stalled it and blocked this bill for 2 years. So that's good news. At least now the full Assembly and Senate of California, they'll have to at least vote on it now. They have to weigh in and say, gee, should sex trafficking of a minor, should that be a felony? They're going to have to vote yes or no. And I think that's coming up in August. So that is a huge victory for team good, let's say that, and against team evil. So that's one good thing that we should be grateful for. SB 729 is the Fertility Equity Bill. And in typical fashion, it combines something that sounds good with a consequence that I don't think anybody's thinking about. So it's a tough issue, because it wants to, what the state has done, and the state, you have to remember, this is under the panoply of reproductive freedom, whatever that means. That sounds really good. It's kind of a Marxist term in a way. Reproductive freedom. I am free to reproduce. The state shall not deny or interfere with an individual's reproductive freedom, including abortion or contraception. That's how Proposition 1 starts. And it's amended our Constitution to install this right to reproductive freedom. It's just that's not defined. Nobody knows what that really means. We're going to have to wait for judges in black robes to tell us what the parameters of reproductive freedom is. And now coming off of that, and remember, Proposition 1 was sold to California as a protection of abortion rights, because Roe versus Wade has been overturned and the Supreme Court is taking away all of your rights. So, wait a minute. California has very robust abortion laws, and all that the Dobbs decision did was said, look, federal government, we can't touch this issue. This is a state issue. So nothing in California changed when Roe versus Wade was overturned. Not one single thing, but that didn't matter. The pro-aborts made sure to fearmonger and suggest that somehow they're coming for your rights. And so passed Proposition 1, and then the people approved it. And now SB 729 is another twist on advancing reproductive freedom. This is fertility equity for all. And yes, there are couples who have difficulty conceiving a child, and they need IVF, and it's an expensive process if you want to conceive a child and you're infertile. The interesting thing is nobody is promoting adoption, but be that as it may, I understand why people would want to make sure that the cost, the expense of fertility treatments would be covered. Well, the state wants to make sure that that's covered, but this bill, 729, doesn't want the state to pay for it. It's going to mandate that private insurance plans cover the cost of IVF and any non-experimental reproductive technologies for anyone who's infertile. And they kind of redefined what infertility is, because they've said, well, you can't, if you're an employer, insurance company, you can't make exceptions for celibate people or gay and lesbian people who are infertile because they choose not to engage in normal biological heterosexual sexual activity.
Susan, I've, to babies. I find your characterization of this bill that they're shifting the responsibility financially to the private insurance companies. Let me tell you where my mind goes with this. With the trend across the country saying that cake wedding producers don't have to cater to gay weddings because of religious convictions, is this why they took it out of the hands of where they had it and put it on the private insurance companies because they can't make such an argument?
Well, I'm not sure. That makes me kind of wonder if the insurance company, yeah, it'll force the insurance companies to have to provide this.
Right.
The interesting thing that I have not thought of, and I'm just pinging off of what you just said, you take it one step to a fertility clinic. Perhaps it's a fertility clinic that is religious. Maybe it's a Catholic fertility clinic or, an Islamic fertility clinic. Mm-hmm. And the doctors there or the technicians there say, we have a religious belief and we don't support gay sex or, conception through these means. Would the doctors providing services, would they have a First Amendment right to refuse to provide the service? I don't think the insurance company is going to have a dog in that fight.
Right.
But it's an interesting thing. I'm just thinking off. It's like, well, could the doctor refuse? It's kind of like conscience protections for pharmaceutical or for doctors say, I don't provide these things. So that's a very interesting idea that you've just come up with to force. Can you force doctors to perform IVF for couples that want to, that are, homosexual couples that want to conceive, or celibate people who, anyway, that's an interesting argument that may actually come to light from this. But right now, what this bill is going to do is force the insurance companies to cover it. That's going to jack up everybody's insurance company. Sure. This is a shifting of cost onto the private sector. You're not allowed. And here's the way they do it. They say you cannot discriminate against a person based on their relationship status. So you can't say, well, you're engaging in homosexual sex and that is never going to lead to a baby. That means you're not infertile. That just means you're choosing something that's not going to work. You can't do that under this bill. That's the way that they're going to be able to usher in surrogacy and fertility equity for queer couples under this bill.
So would it be that, let's say in the case of a male homosexual, they would contribute their sperm to a surrogate carrier that would carry to term and the public has to pay for that?
Yes and no. Yes to all of the medical costs for maybe, the stimulation of eggs or any medical costs associated with the surrogacy and the pregnancy, but not the womb rental, not the fee to the surrogate. Right now, that's not part of the bill. The legislative directors, the fact sheet on that has said, well, we're not covering this. This bill does not cover the cost of renting the woman, the womb. But you kind of got to wonder, well, down the trail, all you need is, I don't know, ACLU or some aggressive law firm that says, well, that's discriminatory. And they should be able to, you should pay for the cost of the womb, because how else are these two men going to grow a baby? So the other interesting thing that is in the future, there is a company that's advertising a theoretical, it's still in theory, it's an artificial womb. It's called an ectopod. It doesn't exist yet, but they've been advertising it in videos and basically proclaiming this is the perfect environment for you to raise your genetically perfect child, right? So we're really at the edge of, we have CRISPR technology that's out of China, right? That you can edit human genomes and create, the perfect designer baby. A Chinese doctor already did it. There are twins living somewhere in China. That's already happened. So we're very close to, all right, now we're going to gather the perfect eggs and the perfect sperm, or we're going to mix everything up, and then we're going to genetically modify it with CRISPR technology. Then we're going to drop it into an ectopod, an artificial womb with a perfect environment so that you can grow your perfect baby. Babies are becoming products, which should not surprise anyone, because babies are already products to the abortion cartel. The entire notion of abortion, that is a product. They want to encourage children in schools to engage in sex. There's even a bill that's going to force condoms to be distributed in high school in California. It's made it through the first hurdle. So that we're going to be saying, okay, you must provide condoms in high school, not college, high school. So they're encouraging sexual activity younger and younger. What is that going to result in? Well, obviously pregnancies, unwanted pregnancies. And instead of anybody talking about adoption and saving the life of that baby and giving the baby any kind of life and choices, right? It's always about the choice of the woman. It's not even the choice of the man, right? So when do men have rights to protect their babies, or do men have rights to create children? Absolutely not. It's always the woman. And the abortion cartel fear mongers to these women, and they tell pregnant women that their life is going to change. They'll never have their career, and and everything can be taken care of with just a pill that's like Tylenol. That's the chemical abortion mantra. So children are a product already to the abortion industry, because we know from documents at UCSF, and we know from different doctors who have explained the organ harvesting process. This would be Dr. Teresa Deischer and Pamela Acker. They have testified, well, they've given interviews explaining how the vaccine industry actually profits from organ harvesting from fetal tissue. So what happens is in an abortion procedure, there are procurement people right there standing by. So as they remove the baby, as you know, and it is dying, but it's being taken out of the womb. So it's an abortion procedure. The baby is still alive, according to Dr. Deischer and Pamela Acker, who has got a master's degree. Pardon me. And then the procurement people harvest their organs, like the kidneys, the heart, the tongue, the skin, within moments, because it has to be so fresh. It still has to be fresh tissues. Otherwise, the cell lines that they devised from the tissues are not viable and cannot be used for creating these vaccines. And nobody's arguing. Nobody is arguing that fetal tissue, that babies' tissues are used to create vaccines. Dr. Stanley Plotkin was under oath in a lawsuit. Video testimony and also written transcript has confirmed that yes, he has used two tissues from two babies to create vaccines. And he confirmed that there just in one study alone, 76 babies were used to create this line for this particular vaccine. That's the rubella vaccine. That's in MMR.
Wow.
So we know that this is big business. That basically aborted fetal tissue is used for medical experiments and, you know, to develop vaccines. So babies are being used as product. This is this fertility equity bill. It's all about the next things. I want my designer baby, and it doesn't matter about my lifestyle. I get to have a baby, anything I want. Nobody's thinking about the child. No one, because no one considers it a child until it's actually out of the womb. That's the crazy lie, the kind of almost Marxist Orwellian denial of the truth. This is a human being from the moment of conception, unique DNA. It grows and develops just like you and I continue to grow and develop. We started growing and developing the moment we were conceived and in our mother's womb, all the way through our development process and through birth. And then we continue to develop and we continue to age and develop all the way until natural death. It's an arc. It's not like I wasn't human until I was born. I wasn't a rabbit and then turned into a human magically after I exited the birth canal. But nobody wants to talk about that. So they're dehumanizing human beings, little babies, so that they can profit from it in a huge scam of the American people. We fund Planned Parenthood with our taxpayer dollars. We're funding the vaccine industry with our taxpayer dollars, and now we're going to be funding all kinds of IVF programs to conceive more of these babies. And can you imagine? I'm just think about going forward. What if you've got, you now have a Chinese company who wants to buy, eggs from, who says, look, I want to finance my degree at Princeton. And so I'm going to sell my eggs. So now can I just sell them to a Chinese company? Well, in California, thanks to Proposition 1, which says the state shall not deny or interfere with an individual's reproductive freedom, including abortion and contraception, that means the state can't interfere with a private company like a Chinese lab from buying someone's eggs, because that's her reproductive freedom. She can sell that, right? So what's going to stop them from buying up any of these frozen embryos of these eggs and then using them for experimentation? And, you know, using CRISPR technology, you could say, well, I've designed the perfect babies over here, and so I'll give those, we'll put those over in the chosen pile, that they're going to go into the ectopod, or they're going to be implanted into a surrogate, and the insurance companies will pay for that. But the other ones that they don't, maybe they're the redheads, who knows? We just don't want those babies. We'll just give those over to the abortion procurement people, and they can gestate them in the ectopod up into about 13 weeks or 14 weeks so that they can harvest their tissues.
High-tech eugenics. Yeah. Very high-tech eugenics. You said yep. something that triggered a thought in me, too. I know a couple of people, one in particular, who's very familiar with live organ harvesting done to the Falun Gong, which is no more yes. than meditation. It's not even a religion. And these people are alive when their organs are taken. And I would ask the question, why are they alive? Why are they purposely inflicting pain? And they said it wasn't so much about the pain. It was about the fact that the cells had to remain fresh. And you just said that
yes.
with regard to the extraction. And I wonder, too, are these babies still alive here in this country? And do they feel pain when their organs are extracted?
Well, that is, and see, that's the interesting issue, isn't it? And we at the Right to Life League, there's an article up. It's already on our page, and it's how abortion and vaccine industries profit side by side. So you can go read the research at righttolifeleague.org, righttolifeleague.org, and you can click on that. And what I did, it was actually Brandon House sent me an Instagram post that had a lot of information. It had Dr. Stanley Plotkin in it, and also some other very wild seeming, you know, allegations that these babies are being aborted and their organs are harvested alive, just like they do. Right. And so I followed up on this, and I found the interview with Dr. Teresa Deischer, in which she explains that the tissues must be very, very fresh and full of blood and still, you know, alive, so that they can then draw the tissues that they need, and so that they can create these new lines of fetal tissue to you know, use in vaccines. She explains it far better than I am. I am not a Stanford PhD. I don't know exactly how the process works, but her interview is there. I've got the link there. Also, John Henry Weston over at LifeSite News did an interview yeah. with Pamela Acker, who's got a master's degree and used to be in the vaccine industry. And he did that in 2021. And I found that as well. And both of these women are explaining that the process for creating vaccines requires these very, very fresh fetal tissues. And what everybody's all clutching their pearls about is, oh my gosh, the babies are alive when you harvest the organs, according to these women and these sources. Well, they're alive when you take them out of the womb. They're alive during the abortion process when you're taking them out and dragging them out. Why are we only bothered that once they're removed from the womb and they're squirming on the table, that then that's when we go ahead and we harvest their organs? I mean, this is barbaric. Abortion is a barbaric procedure. When they go into the womb and they intentionally kill a baby, or they, in the case of, you know, harvesting, they take the baby out alive and it's going to die. It's at 13 or 14 weeks. It's before pre-viability. That why it's baffling. This is a barbaric procedure, and now it's being exposed that they're doing this to benefit science, to get these vaccines. Also in the article, which is at the righttolifeleague.org, you can find a chart at the bottom of the page that lists all of the different vaccines that use fetal tissue. And so there's not a debate as to whether or not fetal tissue is being used in vaccines. There's a list. We know what it is. One of the COVID vaccines has it in there. No, nobody's debating that. But the cover up or the I guess the gloss that they want to put on it, the fig leaf that they want to put it, they don't want you to know how they obtain these very fresh tissues to ensure a healthy fetal line so that they can use it for vaccines. That's the issue. And I believe David Daleiden's films, which are now still in litigation, he was the undercover, he created a, it was called the Center for Medical Progress, I believe. And he went in undercover and talked to abortionists and how and providers to kind of expose that these fetal body parts were being sold in violation of federal law. And Kamala Harris, who was then, I guess, you know, she was a DA here in California, and Javier Becerra, who was also in California at the time, they sued him and shut him down. And that litigation is still going on. Thomas More is representing David Daleiden, and they have now applied for certiorari to the Supreme Court to get the case that, you know, that basically, I think David Daleiden is now fined $2 million and has to pay that to, I guess, the Planned Parenthood and the abortion cartel based on his undercover reporting.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. Is this in California, and isn't California a one-party state for recording?
Well, it is heavily Democratic versus Republican, but I do want to make one mention. The issue of abortion is not wholly partisan. There are good Democrats for life too. That it is, this issue should cross party lines. And so really, people who are advocating abortion, they come in, you know, both blue and red, and people who are advocating for pro-life are also coming in blue and red. So this issue should cross over both. That's what's important. But yes, in California, it's a super majority of Democrats. And so there's very little.
Yeah, I didn't explain my question well. Let me correct myself. When this man went in and recorded these interviews he did with abortionists, was he legally authorized to do it because California is a one-party state for recording? Only one person has to know there's a recording.
Well, that's the issue. That's what's going to be litigated.
Okay.
And so all of those tape, they were put on YouTube. I saw them myself.
I did too.
I remember in one in particular where there was this little tiny, very, very preborn baby, probably 14 weeks or something, 13 weeks, and it was on a little silver, you know, platter. And it was moving. So I've seen the tapes, but they're banned now. They're off of YouTube. But that is the issue, is whether or not this, you know, David Daleiden violated some sort of law in California for recording, or did he commit fraud by saying, well, I'm coming into your convention and under false pretenses, and I'm filming you. So that's what they're trying to do, is cover
Susan,
up the
that's
truth
crap.
Of the fact. Pardon me?
That's a crap argument, because cops are allowed to deceive. Even employers can deceive employees. I've seen the court cases. Unless your intent is criminal, you're trying to defraud somebody.
That's how they're getting at it. You see, that's the thing. Yeah. And look, you have to remember, the abortion cartel has so much money. It's kind of like the federal government has the federal government can use your money against you in a court case. I never really understood it as a baby young lawyer just cutting my teeth. You know, when you come out of law school, you think, I want to do good and I want to tell the truth. You know, I want to be on the side of good. I could never represent anybody who had violated the law, right? Because, you know, you love the law. I love the law. But part of the law is that when the federal government, which has almost unlimited resources and power, when they accuse anyone, you must make that government prove all elements of the case, every one of them. And if that government cannot prove even one element of the case, I don't even care if it's Charles Manson, if that government cannot prove the case beyond a shadow of a doubt, right? But a reasonable doubt, you know, the standard anyway. But if you can't prove all four elements or five elements of the crime, the accused must be declared, you know, not guilty. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, if you can just skip over thing and say, well, you know, most of the elements were proven beyond a reasonable doubt, you can throw people in prison, because the government has almost unlimited capability. And so it is so important for lawyers to stand up and require that the law be observed all the way down to the, I really, because that's how you protect individual liberty. If you don't protect individuals, even guilty ones, if you don't require that the government or whomever is prosecuting prove every element of the crime or every element of the civil action, then what you're doing is you're rewriting the law. You are destroying the protections that our Constitution has created. You're destroying individual rights. So I don't know the ins and outs of the David Dalyden case. What I do know is that Thomas More has appealed the matter to the Supreme Court there. They've submitted a writ of certiorari. Wouldn't it be interesting if the court, all it takes is four justices to say, I think we'll accept, we'll at least hear the case. That would happen in the 2024 year coming up. It would be decided or heard in time for about, May or June of 2024. Wouldn't that be interesting coming up before then, before the election? So, well, God's timing is perfect. I mean, the chances that that any one particular court case would be taken up by the Supreme Court is minuscule, but we have to pray that hopefully justice is done and that the Supreme Court will look to see was the underlying case, was it properly decided by, I believe it was the Ninth Circuit or the district court, were all of the laws appropriately decided, or were the facts correctly entered into evidence, whatever the issue is, because that would reveal something. If the First Amendment protects undercover reporting, the First Amendment should, if that mm-hmm. case is reversed on, at the Supreme Court, and David Dalyden can then reintroduce these undercover videos, it would expose, I guess, the lie that Planned Parenthood doesn't sell, or that procurement companies don't do that. But we know from UCSF, which is the University of California, San Francisco, that is the training hub for abortion techniques across the nation. They pride themselves on that. You can go to prolifesf.com, prolifesf.com. They have lots of documents that from UCSF that explain how fetal tissue is, that the kidneys are harvested, the different things. They have the documents. They're there. No, there's no debate that the fetal tissues are harvested. The only debate is, are they alive when they do it? As they're being removed before they're dead, are they taking the tissues out? That's the issue.
How is that not murder if they're alive?
That is another debate. They say that, murder is the intentional killing of a human being. Well, that's what... You see, look, the abortion cartel, the abortionist pro-abortion, will say that that's not human. It's not a baby. It's not human. It's a clump of cells. It's product of conception.
No. We're talking.
The abortion is a killing. Termination of a human life in the womb. Now, you can do it several different ways. You can in saline injection that burns the baby alive in the womb. You inject it. You can do digoxin, which is a chemical, inject it into the baby, and it stops their heart beating. You can do aspiration technology. So you send up a little curette and it sucks the baby's parts into. So it tears off the legs, sucks them into the sink, like that. Or in a second trimester or later, they have to insert laminaria, expand the uterus, the opening, the cervix, I should say, and then they insert tools with sharp implements and they grab hold of the baby's leg or the arm or crush the skull because the baby is too big to fit through the little aspiration tube, the little, curette. So they have to go in and they tear the baby into pieces and then drag the pieces out, put it on a tray and make sure they got all of the parts before they say, oh yeah, that's done. That's the procedure that we're talking about. That's what an abortion is. Or the most popular form today, according to Guttmacher's study in 2020, is the chemical abortion. And they call it medication abortion, because that sounds much nicer. I'm taking medicine. That sounds kind of healthy. A chemical abortion is the when a woman ingests mifepristone, which is a hormone. It's a drug, rather, that interferes with the natural progesterone, the hormone that maintains a healthy pregnancy. It stops progesterone. The baby consequently starves to death, is not getting nutrients from the placenta, and starves to death in the baby. Then the mother takes a second pill called misoprostol, and that induces premature labor with strong uterine contractions. And so she goes home and she usually aborts her baby into a toilet. That's what a chemical abortion looks like right now. And some women have reported that these are anecdotal, of course, but they report, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. They see the baby and it's dead and it's fully formed. It's a baby. It's a little human being. And they say, I didn't know it was a baby. I thought it was just tissue. And they're traumatized by this because they're never told when, you know, if you go to Planned Parenthood will never turn the ultrasound machine around so that you can see the ultrasound, because they know that every time a woman sees it, over 85%, when women see their baby on ultrasound and they see the little heart beating and they see the movement, the little legs and the nose, the profile and the skull, they say, oh, it's a baby. And they choose life, like more than 85% of the time. So the truth of the ultrasound, the picture in the womb, especially even 4D ultrasound, that proves the lie that the abortion cartel is trying to tell you, that it's not a baby. It's just a clump of cells. It's not a lot. It's not human, basically. That's what they're trying to say. They don't say it that way, but that's what they're trying to tell you, is they use euphemisms to dehumanize the unborn. That's what they do. And they don't want to tell the woman, they don't want to show the picture, because usually the woman will choose life. And that takes away money from, you know, their abortion procedures. So
see, to me, isn't there a legal issue there?
About. Pardon me?
Susan, isn't there an issue, though, with informed consent if you're withholding information that could affect someone's medical decisions? Doesn't that go against informed consent?
All the forms there, and they just tell them, you know, yeah, you are this, you know, you're 13 weeks along or 10 weeks along, and you're a candidate for the chemical abortion. And it's just like taking a time. That's what they'll tell them. We've seen that on YouTubes and different things. It's easy. It's not. But you see, they don't have to show them the ultrasound. They probably have a form that you just sign in, and that's it. So they're very, very covered on their consent. But the problem is that no one is acknowledging the humanity of that unborn child in the womb. And we also know from different abortion doctors, former abortionists who've now seen the light and said they're no longer abortionists, they've confirmed that abortion, the intentional killing of a baby in the womb, is never necessary to save the life of the mother. You might need premature delivery in rare cases, in less than 2% of the cases where the woman's life is actually in jeopardy from, say, like preeclampsia or an ectopic pregnancy.
Been there,
yes,
been there,
at some
done
point,
that, yep.
Yes, you might have to remove the baby, you might deliver the baby, but you can do that humanely and you can still give that baby a chance at life. But you don't have to kill
Susan,
the baby in the womb.
Let me give you a personal example. I want to put a human face on what you just said. My wife had severe, almost life-threatening preeclampsia, and mm-hmm. my son had to be delivered almost 7 weeks early. Mm-hmm. He just graduated from college. Hasn't had a B since seventh grade. He was in the honors college, got two degrees. He's applying to law school now. And no one suggested we abort him. They just said, your wife's in danger. And if we're going to have any chance to save both, this is what we have to do. And so
doctors understand that that's called triage. They understand that they have two patients. They have two lives in the balance. And what doctors do is they try very hard to save both. And that is the issue. But abortion doesn't do that. Abortion, it says, oh, we have to save your life. Well, first of all, it's less than 2% of the cases. And that's according to the data that's available, because some of these states will not produce the data. Because they hide it. They don't want you to know how many abortions are being done. So they, like in California, a lot of it is kind of private, proprietary, secret information. So you can't get fully accurate numbers out of the federal government, of the CDC, or anything like that. But what we do have, what we do know, is that in all of the cases that we're talking about, the true threat to the life of the mother is less than 2%, probably even less than 1%. I don't have it exactly in my head, but it's very, very small. So 98% of these pregnancies, there's not a threat to the life of the mother. But so that means it's elective. That means it's something that, well, the woman is in fear, or she just doesn't want, she doesn't, it's inconvenient to her, whatever
No.
it is. And the abortion industry is right there to sell her abortion, to sell her a solution to a problem she doesn't really have, but they do it for fear mongering. And that's why it is so very important to support pro-life clinics and centers and maternity homes all across the nation, and especially in California, where we're fighting the battle for life. Because these pro-life clinics and these centers, they offer hope. They offer an alternative that is life-saving. They tell the woman, you don't have to abort your baby to save your life. We will come alongside you. We will big sister you. We will be there for you so that you can have your baby and thrive. And not just during pregnancy, but after the baby is born too, with family classes, with all kinds of support, baby clothes, formula, car seat. Maternity homes will provide housing for homeless women who are pregnant. There's all kinds of resources out there, but they are suppressed, and they're constantly under attack because they provide a resource that is pro-life and defeats the argument that the abortion cartel wants to push out there. And that's why these clinics are under assault. There were bills in California that one of them was defeated, but another one of them, which is I believe it's AB 720, 720, I'm sorry, 1720, it's targeting pro-life centers in a way by saying, well, you're not allowed if you refer, if you're a center and you're not a medical clinic, and you refer to a doctor who, you're kind of in partnership with an OBGYN who then can do the ultrasound to show the baby to the mother. There's the way that this language is written in AB 1720, it's a little bit vague to say, well, can a center, which is not a medical clinic, can they partner with or refer to these doctors who will do the ultrasound? Or is that some sort of fraudulent misrepresentation? They're still trying to go after these centers for basically business fraud, because they're trying to shut them down. You know why? Because they're very effective, because they offer an option and hope and all kinds of different resources that help a woman carry to term and beyond. So it is California is the most anti-life state in the nation, and that is why it's so very important to support these pro-life clinics and centers and maternity homes. And if people want to do
No.
that, they can go to the Right to Life League.org, Right to Life League.org. You can hit the donate button, because that's what we do. We try to help these clinics and centers with the supplies and maybe the ultrasound and networking and support services that they need to keep their doors open in California.
You know, I have a general question for you before we close. When you were speaking very early about Chinese practices and so forth, two things come to mind. One, I'm wondering why the government is spending taxpayer money on every form of sexual activity that doesn't end in procreation. And then number two, it almost seems like we're moving towards eugenics.
Sadly, I think perhaps you're right. I mean, with the idea of being able to CRISPR technology, but that's not happening yet, as far as I know, in America. I just know that it has happened in China, and that it is possible. And what we're doing is we're postulating, we're hypothesizing, what can this happen? If you can take, eggs out of a cry, the fertilized eggs out of, the cryostasis that they're in right now through these labs. There's tons of embryos that have been frozen that are through artificial reproductive technology, and they're sitting there frozen. What's going to be happening to those babies? Well, at some point, it makes sense that that's a business opportunity for any kind of lab to come in, or somebody to negotiate with the parents who have frozen some of their embryos. Why not? So that's the risk, is are we going to be ushering in an entire new brave new world of eugenics to experiment on these medical products? Because again, we're making children products because we're dehumanizing them in the womb. We don't recognize their right as a human being to the right, the basic fundamental rights that we believe we receive from our creator, the fundamental inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that we have in our Declaration of Independence. We don't recognize human beings in the womb yet. We don't do that. And so, is it okay to experiment with them? Their tiny little, their unique DNA. Is that okay? Can they edit some baby, some human's DNA, and then experiment it with it to create again these the chosen babies? Put them in the ectopod or implant them in willing surrogates that are going to be paid for somehow, either with taxpayer dollars or privately, because we want to raise an army of the new generation of children that will be educated for the
Yeah,
state
there you
or for
go.
whatever, or and then we're going to send the rest, the rejects, the substandard, the less than perfect, the non-Aryan, if you were a Nazi, right? If you said these children are not, they're not genetically acceptable, let's send them over to the abortion side, and we can use their tissues to further medical research. That's the brave new world. That's the hypothesis of where this could lead. We don't know that for sure yet, but when somebody would say they would never do that, they would never do that, well, I would point to so many things that have already happened, like the H-bomb, anything. We know that the possibility of doing something like that already exists. So all we're talking about is the morality. Should we do it? And sometimes, especially unethical scientists, will do it just because they can. So we're at that
Yeah.
point now. And that's why laws, that's why government should be protecting individuals and should be protecting our country, just like our federal government should be protecting citizens by closing the borders. Is that being done?
No, no, no,
No.
no. No,
No, it's not.
in
So
2015, Susan, there was a movie made with Superman, and they were on planet Krypton or whatever planet that was. And General Zod and the father of Superman were having a conversation. He said, "Your son is the first live birth on the planet in 300 years. I was born and bred to be a general. Everyone is born to fill the needs of the government for what they are designed to do." And this, it's interesting. It's only a movie, but how many times have we seen things in Hollywood that end up coming into fruition? And we
they're
have a
telling
term for
us
that.
what the plan is.
The term for
They're
that
telling
is, predictive programming is the term. And a lot of these scripts are actually written by the CIA and other groups that get into Hollywood. I know that for a fact because I've interviewed Hollywood producers. So
Interesting.
you're right on the money with this. Very quickly, we got about a minute left. What's the status of SB 729? And do you know what the time frame is going to be?
It has passed out of committees and it's across the desk, which means it's now going, I guess its next hearing, I believe, is in the Appropriations Committee. I think that's in August. And Appropriations is just, do we have the money for it? And because the bill specifically transfers the cost to private insurance companies, not the state, it's not, I don't think it's going to have a meaningful fiscal impact on the budget, on California's, I think it, I
Sure,
heard from
sure.
Governor Newsom's $311 billion budget. So it's going to be fairly financially neutral, except that, I think it'll be a crime if you don't do it. So they're not going to have a reason not to approve it. So it'll probably pass. It'll probably pass appropriations and finally find its way to the desk for Governor Newsom's signature. And we just have to see, well, is he going to sign it or
Bingo,
not?
bingo, you're right on the
So
money. One of the things I look at with this is I looked into this and I saw a lack of lobbying from the life insurance co or the insurance companies are going to have to pay for this. And I asked the question of somebody in the medical profession who asked not to be identified. I said, "Why aren't they protesting like crazy?" I said, "This is something where you throw campaign dollars at someone to secure their vote." And they said, "ESG ratings. That they'll have a low ESG rating." And they said, "This is why." So this is why it's so important you came on today to share this. Again, Right to Life League, and is that a .org?
dot org, yeah,
Dot
right
org.
to
Okay.
love league.org.
Okay, and you guys take donations.
Oh yes, please. Thank you, because
Yes.
we're fighting the fight out here, and that's the only we have one major fundraiser every year, which is in October, and that's it. And that funds all of the programs for the rest of the year. So yes, we need every bit of help, $5, anything. What we would really love are monthly contributors, just $5 a month or $1 a month, whatever you can. That's the only thing that keeps us going. So thank
Okay.
you.
I know I really appreciate what you do. And to our audience, please visit the righttolifeleague.org and give what you can give, because we're talking about preserving the dignity and humanity of our civilization. Susan, thank you so much for coming on. You're always such a joy to have on, even though the topics are grim.
Well, thank you, Dave, for having me. It's really always it's good to talk to you, and I
Thank
love the
you.
insight that you've given me about the possible legal ramifications of things like that. Thank you so much.
Thanks. We'll look forward to having you back on again as circumstances warrant. Thank you.
God bless you, and God bless America.
Yes, absolutely. Good day.